afternoon. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Wallace Chapman with you. Today, Professor Michael Plank with us just after four. Does the UK variant mean we need to rethink about pushing the limits of our quarantine period? We discuss that and other things with him. Also, International Women's Day today. Tracy Hopeupper with us. Now, Tracy's recognised as a role model for other directors and business leaders. And several years back, Tracy was on a list of the world's most inspirational and influential women by the BBC. Also this afternoon, it's anticipated to attract a bigger audience in the Super Bowl. What am I talking about? This two-hour interview with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex wrapping up in the US in a few minutes. We discuss with Carol Ramos in the US. What are some of the revelations so far? Prince Harry has revealed he and the Duchess of Sussex are expecting a baby girl. They also considered moving to New Zealand, and Harry admitted watching some of The Crown on Netflix. With me today, consulting partner at Senate SHJ and diversity and inclusion advocate, Zaina Jalil. Zaina, kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora, Wallace.
And food and nutrition writer and speaker, Nikki Pesant. Nikki, welcome to the panel.
Kia ora, Wallace.
But first up, we have none other than Robert Kelly with our story of the day. And Robert, you haven't been with us. Welcome back to the panel.
Kia ora, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Nice to have you on. What do you have for us today?
Well, I want to kind of return to a running theme that I've been looking at for the last couple of years, which is kind of the tech and business disruptions into the sleep and mindfulness business. You might remember that a while ago we spoke about cow hugging.
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was good fun. A German and Dutch trend. There are also sound baths for mindfulness.
Yes, I do. I do recall.
But now there's a new wave coming, and it's because of coronasomnia. And so right around the world, a lot more people allegedly experiencing sleeplessness or insomnia. University of Southampton study found that it rose from 1 in 6 people to 1 in 4 from before the pandemic to immediately after it first hit. And it's probably got worse now. So the sleep business is worth big money. Wallace, what do you reckon it's worth in billions, the sleep industry, right now?
Let's have a guess. Let's say $7 billion nationwide, internationally.
It's a good guess. Times it by 10. It's $79 billion. In 2019.
That's amazing.
And it's forecast to hit $163 billion by 2030.
So when you talk about the sleep industry, we're talking about aids, apps, devices that help you sleep, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's everything from actual physical products through to advice and technical advice and apps.
And does it include drugs? Sleep drugs?
Yes, it does, but it doesn't include prescription.
Right. Well, let's go around the panel first before we get into it. Zaina, do you have any issues with sleep? Has it been a problem for you?
More when it's too hot.
Too hot, yes.
Yeah, than anything else. But actually, I'm not surprised by that figure.
You're not?
No, because one of the other things that got a lot of attention during COVID, and I know this because I also built an app around yoga and meditation,
really?
Was the size of the yoga market globally, which is more than $80 billion.
That's massive.
Good grief. Wow. Nikki?
No, I'm a pretty good sleeper, but I tell you, I really notice it when I don't sleep. So the other night when we had the earthquake and I was awake for several hours in the middle of the night, I mean, I just felt like I was terrible the next day. So it really brought home to me the impact of poor sleep on general overall health and well-being. It is a really, really big problem.
Yeah. Robert?
One of the most important things about sleep is that it's affected by a lot of different factors. So anyone who tells you this is the secret to fixing your sleep is probably misleading you in one way or another.
Okay. Because, or trying to sell you something.
Yeah, it's trying to sell you something. So the weighted blanket market is huge. And for some
people... They're good though, aren't they, weighted blankets?
I feel a bit claustrophobic and weird about it. I tried one once and kind of started drifting off and then thought, uh-oh, I'm in danger, and had to change it up. But the weighted blankets do work for some people and they don't for others. So it's good. But how much money do you actually want to spend on one? There are some new apps around, including one that I'm going to play you a little sample of. So this is a new app called Luna, which does visual and oral storytelling. So you kind of use the phone screen to paint pictures and stuff. So I'll just give you a little sample of that.
Thank you.
working for Nikki. This is not good. Pre-panel.
Stay with it. Stay with it.
Welcome to a new Sleepscape episode called The Dragon Shrine.
So, see, I reckon I've missed a vocation. I think that would be quite fun. Again, that works for some people.
Yes.
It doesn't work for others. And the problem is that people sell these things as if it's going to fix the problem. The problem isn't necessarily the type of pillowcase that you're sleeping on or anything else. What it probably is anxiety, which can be caused by a vast number of different things. It can be caused by insecurity of job. It can be caused by the fact that you're not happy in what you're doing. It can be caused by so many different things. Mm. And the researchers who did this University of Southampton study about insomnia said that you really need three good things for a good night's sleep. You need a bedroom that's comfortable, a relaxed body, and a quiet mind. You need to make space in your life for sleep. That's not to say that nothing else doesn't help, and every time we do an interview on sleep on this station, you get a huge variety of responses. But coronavirus in this country and around the world has changed people's lives really, really rapidly. And if you're, especially if you're stuck in a lockdown, like in some countries where people have been locked down for 6, 8, 12 months, that's going to change the way that your brain approaches things, and sleep is one of those things.
Very true. I must admit, Zane, in that level 4 lockdown, and actually this more recent lockdown, one thing that did strike me was, because I've always been quite a good sleeper, but what I did have was very, very vivid dreams.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people have talked about that.
Very vivid. And I wake up and go, gosh, what was that all about? So certainly my subconscious was acting out some aspect of this pandemic, Nikki.
Yeah, I've interviewed a few sleep experts actually, and I interviewed someone during for a story I did on how our health had changed during lockdown. And one of the things they said was something good, which was that it helped with what they call social jet lag, which is where in a normal working life you might sleep later in the weekend, and then that disrupts your sleep during the week when you have to get up earlier. Mm. And so when everyone's working from home, the social jet lag is less.
Okay.
And that was actually a positive that came out of it. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Robert Kelly, thank you very much. And don't give it your day job, but you could actually do a bit of research into actually providing voices for sleep apps.
I think I've got a future in ASMR. Thanks, Wallace.
All right. Okay. Time for I've Been Thinking. Zana Jalil.
I've been thinking, well, it is International Women's Day today, and it's hard to think of anything else today, really. And I've been thinking about the campaign theme this year.
You wrote a very good op-ed, by the way.
Thank you. Around the theme of Choose to Challenge, and that's what the op-ed was about as well, which is, you know, it's a great call to action. But I've been thinking about all those women for whom or who believe that they do not have a choice to challenge or who feel that they might have negative consequences as a result of, you know, making those challenges. And when we think of that, we often think of, you know, war-torn nations or places in the world where access to education or justice might not be great. But this is happening in New Zealand. You know, if you think about the impact of COVID on women and the tens of thousands who have lost jobs, you think about a single woman who's doing two jobs to try and put food on the table for her children. Well, she's not going to do anything that's going to impact her ability to provide for her kids. We have one of the worst domestic violence rates in the world. If you're a domestic abuse victim, you're going to tolerate biases at work because that's your safe haven from home. Mm. You know, and I could go on about a number of different scenarios. So I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, it's easier to challenge when you come from a place of privilege, and that privilege can be your education or the fact that you've had really good, solid work experience, or you're financially secure. Or you're a bit like me, you know, and you've got a family that'll provide for you, that'll support you.
You've got backup.
Yeah, you've got backup.
Right, yes.
So for, you know, all the events that are taking place today and all the op-eds that are being written and everything else, there are many, many women in this country who won't be at those events. And so I say that, you know, those of us of all genders who have privilege, with privilege comes responsibility, and the responsibility to think about our sisters and daughters who don't have the choice to challenge.
Wonderfully said, Zaina. Thank you very much for that. Nikki.
Absolutely.
Nikki,
well, actually, my I've been thinking ties in nicely with what Zaina has said, and because I've been thinking about women as well. And on this International Women's Day, the Gender Justice Collective is calling for us to sign their petition for our government to allocate $6 million in the 2021 budget to prioritise the development of a national women's health and wellbeing strategy and action plan. I was shocked to learn that we don't have a focus on women's health or a plan for women's health. I shouldn't be shocked. I'm researching a book on menopause at the moment,
yes,
and I'm learning a lot about inequities in the health system as they apply to women. And so, you know, it plays out in so many different ways in the health system. Women have different health needs from men, and we have different health outcomes. And that flows through into how well or not well we are in our lives. But we don't have... There's a really good article on Ensemble today, Ensemble Mag online, by Angela Meyer, talking about this. And I would encourage everyone to go onto the Gender Justice Collective's website and sign the petition, because we need to improve women's health outcomes, and we need to actually focus on it rather than just treating women as small men, which is how traditionally in health research women have been looked at.
So it's incredible. It's the inequities are right from the research phase as well.
Yeah, it's
clinical
really,
trials
it's really
and that type of thing.
Yeah, I talked to one woman expert who's a brain researcher actually, who described it as bikini medicine, which she meant that traditionally women have been treated just as a subset of men, except for the bits that are covered by a bikini. So she called it breasts and tubes, basically. But apart from that, in terms of research, they were treated as just a smaller man, which is completely not the case. Women have different responses to medication. We are different, biologically different, and have different... we're driven by different hormones, all that kind of thing. But that has flowed through into health systems, and we're still recovering from that, really. Women are starting to be taken into account in health research now, but still... we don't have a lot of research on some of the things that really affect women. Women are twice as likely as men to have Alzheimer's disease, for example. And we don't in New Zealand even have data on how many people this affects.
Well, do we know why that is?
It's to do with... Well, we don't really know why it is, actually. We need to research it more, but it's thought that it might be due to estrogen receptors in the brain. Maybe.
Right, Zaina Jalil and Nikki Bazant with me this afternoon. Lots of things to discuss right here, Monday afternoon. Stay with us, 4 to 5, right here.